Each of the knights went their separate ways. Sir Robin rode north through the dark forest of Ewing, accompanied by his favorite minstrels.
Bravely bold Sir Robin brought forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Wise Men Radio on CITR 101.9. Broadcasting you to you live from the unceded Musqueam territory. On the UBC campus. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin. Today is January. January 20th, 2017. It's a big day today for people of the globe and especially us Americans out there. I'm going to cover a lot of things about the election I'm going to talk a little bit about Obama's legacy because that's a little more positive spin on all this stuff. And I'm going to basically just kind of speculate, and I'll talk about some things in the conservation realm today as well, kind of like I normally do, but right now I'm kind of in a big pickle. I got my shoe stuck. I have my shoe stuck in the chair, and so I'm kind of frantically trying to get it out while talking. But anyways, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna start the day off with a nice little tune from a band out of Montreal. The band is called Set Fire to the Flames, and the song is called "And the Birds Are About to Burst Their Guts with Singing." Kind of like just about dawn, you know, they're about to just burst their guts with their singing. Go ahead and give this boy a listen to. It's a pretty cool song. I enjoy. So yeah, I'll be back in about 10 minutes to give a little more of a update here. But anyways, Set Fire to the Flames.
Thank you. just want your attention.
Had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of
Whistler?
Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar BC. Zipcar, wheels when you want them.
It's a brand new day.
Are you a graduate student? De-stress from your studies through the Graduate Student Society. Come and meet new friends through our beer tasting sessions, sports leagues, and fitness classes. And maybe you're interested in making a difference. Help eliminate sexual assault by volunteering to become a GSS Active Bystander Trainer. If ever you experience difficulties with your supervisors, faculty, or the university, the GSS can provide confidential advocacy assistance. And we will work with you to help resolve academic, personal, or financial issues. Your graduate student experience matters. Let the GSS help you now. Visit gss.ubc.ca.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9, Wise Men Radio. This is Austin, coming from you live from the unceded Musqueam Territory. Thanks for tuning in. We just played a track by German Error Message. They're out of Nashville, Tennessee. German Error Meshes is kind of like an ambient artist, experimental sort of dark folk almost, by the name of Paul Kinzing, and he produced a lot of stuff. There's a lot of material here on Bandcamp, and he just released his new track called 2017, and that was his first track in 2 years. So, kind of a coming back from a little hiatus here. But yeah, look him up. There's pretty cool stuff. I would give him a shout. And then the other song I played was a track by Tracy Chataway from Australia. And the song was Home off of her album Secret Garden that is coming out, it came out January 5th. So there you go. Recent release here. And then, of course, the first track was a song by the Montreal artist Set Fire to the Flames. The birds are about to burst their guts with singing, and the album was Telegraphs in the Negative. Kind of a fun, nice title for sort of nice. It's like, but anyways. Today on Wise Men Radio, I am here to discuss a little bit about Donald Trump's presidential election that is occurring as we speak. Today is Inauguration Day, and whether you like it or not, the President Donald Trump is now the new President of the United States. I think that's the first time I said that word, those words. I, like, put President and Trump in the same, like, same phrase there. That's kind of a scary moment for me personally. As of I think 25 minutes ago, Mike Pence took the oath, and then 18 minutes ago, President Trump takes the oath. It's a pretty crazy day, to be honest. A lot of people didn't expect it, but I'm sure everyone has kind of been bombarded in this past election season, especially this one, with, you know, negativity and whatnot. So I'm not going to try to totally linger too long on this whole Trump doomsday sort of idea. I have already done that. I've already done that enough. So, yeah, I'm just going to kind of point things out that are interesting. I'm going to let people at home synthesize their own opinions and thoughts while I just kind of say things, I guess. First off, I think that the dynamic between former President Obama and President Trump's interactions are so interesting because they're two very distinctly different people. A lot of people can just subjectively speaking, if you agreed with Obama's policies or not, he was a pretty, like, cool guy. He was pretty funny. The whole mic drop thing that he did during some sort of Oval dinner. There's so many moments where he kind of showcased his own personality and character, and especially like picking Joe Biden as a VP. Like, that guy is absolutely crazy. And just kind of like a cool guy, funny guy, good sense of humor, really likes basketball. What's not to like about that? but then here comes this kind of like typhoon, why do people call it, people always say this, like, I can't think of the word right now, but it starts with a T, kind of this, like, this just crazy businessman who's pretty not cool, in any of the same senses as Obama was. He was, like, whether you like Trump or not, you can't really say that he's kind of a down-to-earth kind of, he's a chill guy. No one's, you know, hung out. I've never heard of anyone saying, you know, yeah, I'm like, I like Trump because he gets it. He gets me, you know. He's like, he's a chill guy, and he likes all the same things as I do. And now, if you like his policies, I guess then that's, you got something in common there, but. It's interesting, like, that there's such a disparity between the two, like, for a lack of a better word, of their chillness, which is, it's funny that we can go from this kind of laid-back president to this kind of uptight, kind of, like, riled-up, angry guy who's just ready to fight someone, I don't know. I also think it's really interesting that President Trump is the oldest president elected into office. President Trump is 70 years old. And I remember back in the 2009 campaign, 2008, 2009, where where John McCain and I think it was 2009. That was John McCain. No, that was Mitt Romney. But the John McCain and John McCain and Obama battle for the White House. That one kind of a lot. I remember hearing. I mean, I was pretty young at that time. Like, I didn't really care about politics, but I remember hearing a lot of people saying, yeah, "We can't have McCain in there. He's gonna die in office." And look at him now. He's still kicking around. And look also who he just elected. He's older than John McCain would have been when he got sworn in. So I don't know. It's kind of like an odd holding someone to one standard and not the other person, sort of thing. And we didn't really hear a lot of that. We just kind of, which is kind of a shame, I guess, if you want to talk about it that way. But I think that's really interesting. And also, like, their history between President Obama and President Trump, how President Trump really kind of was the he was really the big voice out against Obama when he first took office, and calling him all these names and saying that he wasn't American and wanted to know his birth certificate. He kind of I remember watching the video where Trump is sitting there in Trump Tower or whatever, and he's like saying he's demanding for President Obama's birth certificate. And I remember like thinking that this looks like kind of like a threatening, you know, like a threat video that like a terrorist organization would put out to like the U.S. to try to get their like capture soldiers back or something. So I remember like seeing images of that on the news and whatnot. It just kind of seemed like that, like it was just another one of those threats that the White House was getting from, you know, around the world. And I think that's, like, especially coming out of the Iraq war and Afghanistan, the Middle East, really, it's not really what the nation needed. And I don't know. Also, and taking that a step further, I don't think that this is what a lot of this, the anti-Trump protest is what the nation needs either. I think it's great to voice your opinion, and I think, yeah, protest. But I just saw another image today in Capitol Hill where there's a big protest happening to kind of block off the inauguration, and again this is another example of kind of the protest taking it too far and becoming violent. And they've really it just shows a picture of this smashed limousine, and it's just not, it's, that's not cool, man. I'm from Portland, and Portland is where a lot of the big quote riots happened after the election day, and I remember, I mean, I know plenty of people who were there that were legitimately protesting, that were peacefully protesting with their signs and just walking down the street. But there's a lot of people that, you know, just really took advantage of kind of the chaos of the moment and were like smashing windows, and it cost the city of Portland, it cost the taxpayers so a lot of money to fix all the damage that everyone did. So I think it's just kind of like an irresponsible, childish almost, it's a stupid thing to do. There's so many other ways. And it also, like, makes it so that the people who are actually protesting, it kind of, like, devalues their message, which is something that is is like crazy to do, and this, especially if you're like you're getting violent and or like making making a big ruckus about a cause, and like if you actually care about the cause, you're totally undermining your whole cause that you're doing this for. Politics are a pretty funny business, and they really affect everything and anyone. And so I never considered myself a highly political person, or whatnot, but I think as a responsible citizen of the world, it's important to kind of know at least what's going on. I think it's totally cool to have a moderate opinion about anything politics, and whatnot. But it has become increasingly harder to actually have a moderate opinion these days, which I think is a real like that's a real issue that I think not a lot of people are addressing. It's either, you know, you have to be totally Bernie Sanders or you have to be Donald Trump, you know, and I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the messages that Bernie Sanders says, but like I think that it says a lot about society when you have two main like big spearheads, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, running, having very contrasting opinions and very polarizing, I guess. But yeah, I think I am going to play some more songs, because I just talked a long time about politics, which this show is sort of designed to address. Normally, I address issues in conservation and environmental science. If you think that's kind of interesting, you can also follow me on Facebook at Wise Men Radio with a Z or a Z. Or you can just look me up on the website, citr.ca. Just search in the little search box, Wise Men Radio, and I should come up here. But anyways, it's 30 past the hour, and we're going to go back to playing a little bit more tunes. I'm going to play a cool song out of Newfoundland. The song is by Fog Lake, and the title is Side Effects, off of the album Dragon Chaser. It's a pretty cool experimental track, and I hope you guys like it, and I'll be back to talk a little bit more about how President Obama's legacy and his commitment to conservation, which is something I'm pretty passionate about, so I'm sure I will have a lot to say about that. But anyways, stay tuned. CITR 101.9.
Time. most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season two. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. You can catch All Access Pass every Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Hello, this is Wiseman Radio. This is Austin on Wiseman Radio. And this is CITR 101.9. You're listening to the Inauguration Day cover special done by me, Austin, on Wiseman Radio. Yes. But anyways, first, before I kind of get into this rabbit hole, I played a couple songs. The last song was a tune by Proswell. The song was called Resource Charm off of Airship Music Volume 1. Kind of like little bit of experimental, like kind of video game music-esque sort of thing. I've been pretty down that path as of late. But anyway, and then the song I played before that was by an artist out of Vancouver, actually, Shimmering Stars. The song was Are You Invisible off of the Are You Invisible /LSD tape here. And, of course, the first song that I played in this set was a track by Fog Lake called Side Effects off their album Side Effects. So, yeah. Cool tunes, but I'm here to talk about a cool guy, President Obama, I guess former President Obama now, but yeah, I did some digging, and I just wanted to kind of really figure out what President Obama's legacy would be in regards to science, really is what I was digging for. This show typically covers more science and kind of environmental science related subjects, so I thought I would kind of cover that a bit. But yeah, so I was taking a look at kind of the power that the president has to elect an office, because I know a lot of concern with the new President Trump is that that the people he appointed to things such as the EPA or the Energy Department of Energy, the head of that. And I was looking at kind of the numbers that the president has the power to actually just appoint, and how much, kind of the ratio between the total amount of employees that the administration has versus the number of political appointees. Really, that's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah, actually, the journal Nature actually created a pretty good graphic on this. The Department of Energy, the most interesting ones are things like the Department of Energy. The EPA is pretty, is similar into the sense, and also the National Science Foundation is pretty crazy, actually. So for things like the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and it has a pretty moderate amount of people. It seems to kind of fit in the middle of all the averages of the things. So that administration holds about 1,700 people, employees, and 54 of them are political appointees. So that's about kind of the average amount of employee to appointee ratio. The EPA has a slightly less amount of people working there, 1,500, and 185 people are appointed, and they're typically typically all the political appointees are the higher up positions. So they're the real people that actually make the impact. So 185 people in the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, are appointed by the president or other members of the cabinet. So that's just something to think about. It's also kind of a nice thought, especially if you're kind of in the going down the like the world's doomed sort of train, that there's more people working at these agencies than just the people that Trump will appoint. And I'm sure, like, you know, they're going to be trying to do the best and the best that they can to try to save the Earth. And it's a comforting thought that there's more people than just, you know, the person that doesn't believe in climate change running the board of climate change. So that's something just to kind of mellow everyone out. But there's also the Department of Energy is actually it has a lot of people, but it also has a lot of people that are appointed. 358 people are actually appointed to the Department of Energy, which is pretty crazy. I think it's one of the ones that will be the most important going forward, with energy becoming increasing concern in ways of sustainable energy. And I don't think that necessarily some of the political appointees this realm will push for these alternative sources of energy that we need. So it's going to be on the next, the rest, like 1,500 people, or I guess 1,400 people that will have to push that forward, the agenda of renewable and sustainable energy. And I think by far the most interesting one is the National Science Foundation. National Science Foundation has, 1,500 employees, and about 130 of them are appointed by politicians, and I think that's crazy. That is by far the largest ratio of political appointees to just regular employees, and I think that's crazy because the National Science Foundation should be definitely like an unbiased. Like, science itself is meant to be, like, this unbiased entity of knowledge, really. And I think it's crazy that, like, you have politicians interfering with science and people. I don't know. That's not really how it should really make – it doesn't make sense that way. So I don't know. I think that's something that should be looked at more, and that's kind of a – it's definitely something that jumped out at me and I think should be brought up. Another like kind of funny one, I guess not really funny, but the United States Geological Survey has 8,000 employees, and only two of them are political appointees. So that's, I mean, that's I'm like, why is that? I don't know. Your guess is just as good as mine. But anyways, Obama was a pretty progressive guy when it comes to like the science realm of things. He applied a lot of policies that pushed forward things such as stem cell research and kind of positive climate change policies, which is pretty cool. A really cool thing that also Obama did is set aside a lot of land, is protect a lot of land from development and kind of resource extraction in some sense. But President Obama has created or expanded 34 national monuments, protecting more land and ocean from development than any previous president. And this graph goes back to President Carter, 1977. And so that is a really cool thing. And I talked a bit about last episode about the importance of protecting ocean, and how Canada was doing pretty good on that sense, where they vowed to protect 10% of Canada's oceans by, I think, 2020 was the goal, and or maybe it was 2050, something like, no, probably 2020. But anyways, Obama has most of the land that Obama has put set aside for protection is ocean, which is actually really cool. Like, that is something that really hasn't been done previously. Actually, really funny observation, too, is that George H.W. Bush was, I think, the first one to – or no, not George H., George W. Bush was the first one to actually set aside ocean for protection, at least in the U.S. And he set aside 88.5 million hectares for protection in the ocean, which is pretty cool. And Obama, he set aside 221.7 million hectares. So that's quite a bit. And contrasting to the 2.3 million hectares he set aside for protection on land, that is a really big jump. Yeah, it's like very cool and pretty progressive. But there is some possibilities. A lot of people are kind of unsure of the logistics behind putting about President Trump taking away these restrictions on, or at least protection on these lands. So I am kind of unsure of what he'll try. I would hope that he'll let it be. I don't expect any more land to be put aside for protection anytime soon in the United States of America, which is a shame, but it's the way that goes, and that's what the people voted for. So I guess that's that. But anyways, it's getting time for a close for my show. I'm going to play a couple more songs here, and that will be all. But thanks for everyone for joining me this Friday morning, and I hope everyone had a good time, because I did, and maybe learned something, because I did as well. Anyways, you can like me on Facebook, Wise Men Radio, or just whatever. You don't have to. No pressure. I'll be here next Friday. Keep listening. I'm going to play a song by the Sidewalk Cellist, or also known as Clara Chandler. She's got a cool, like, groovy cellist sound. So give her a listen, too. See you guys later. Ciao, ciao.